Everybody, welcome to the press. Welcome to our Tuesday episode. We're going to go over two tournaments today. We're going to go over the LPGA's event in South Korea, the BMW Ladies Championship, and then we're going to talk about the DP World Tour event this week, which is the Estrella Damm NA Andalusia Masters, played in the Soto Grande area of Andalusia, Spain, at Real Club Soto Grande. Let's talk a little bit about the LPGA event first. This is a 78-player tournament, $2.2 million purse, I believe. This is an event that is, like many, been plagued by COVID, in that the first event was in 2019. They didn't play it in 2020 or 2021. They have played it, or they did play it in 21. They didn't play it in 2020, and they've played it in the last 3 years in a row, but they did have that COVID gap. The events moved around a little bit as well, but the host course is fun. It's interesting. You could score on it. It's different. It's worth looking at as an interesting venue. In terms of results, last year Minji Lee won on 16 under, which was the worst winning score for the event. She won in a playoff against Allison Lee, and ultimately that meant her victory. They both finished on 16 under 272. Lydia Ko was third at 274. Angel Yin was fourth at 275. And I always find Angel Yin's picture really funny on the LPGA website, because Angel Yin does not look like that normally anywhere else. Like, she looks like a normal person, not like a kind of made up. But I just don't think that's her style. But if you look at 2022, Lydia Ko won here. 121 under 267. Her picture also doesn't really look like her either. But Andrea Lee was second here. She was T35 last year, and I will point that out because we'll get to Andrea Lee in a minute. Lilia Vu was tied for third with Haijin Choi and Hyuju Kim, and Gino Tittical was in sixth that year. And then if you want to look back to 2021, which you could have arguments about for a variety of different reasons, but Jin Young Ko won. She is not playing this week, which I think is interesting. Hee Young Lim was second, the playoff loser. Narin An was tied for third with A-Lim Kim, Dayun Lee, and Lydia Ko. This was a kind of a different tournament in a number of ways. Is that a lot more Asian representation toward the top of the leaderboard compared to other years. There does seem to be a fair mix in this event typically. 78 players, like I said, 33 of the world top 50 are competing. It's not quite major caliber. Most LPGA majors get like 43 to 45 of the world top 50, because a good number of them play in Japan or Korea exclusively and just don't have LPGA status, so they don't play in those majors. But this is a very good field. Now, that said, let's take a look at the outright market. Gino Tittical is 9-1. I think that's foolish. Running In, who won last week, we called her on the pod. And for the LPGA 6 that we do on Twitter with five other guys who bet on the LPGA regularly, she's 10-1. Heyram Rue is 11-1. Lydia Ko is 12-1. I don't know how you don't bet her this week. She's tailor-made for this event. She's won it. She's come close. She's had a great year. What are we doing here? I feel like you almost have to bet her. Ayaka Furue is 14-1. Mao Saigo is 18-1. It seems to be this kind of trend in the betting market, thinking that she's eventually going to break through. And maybe that's the case. She's had a very good year, but I'm not necessarily drawn to that. Se-Young Kim, Minji Lee, Celine Boutier, all at 20-1. Se-Young Kim's starting to come on a little bit, and she does seem to do better in tournaments where you have to go lower. I could buy into that. I don't think Minji Lee's playing her best golf right now. Celine Boutier did play well and has played well in the Asian stretch. She won the Ladies European Tour event, the Aramco Saudi Series, played there. So she has won recently. She's been on the continent. Lilia Vu at 22-1, I think, is a really, really interesting play. She's done well at this event. She's played pretty darn good golf all season. It would be nice for her to get a second win here. Lauren Coughlin is 28-1. I think she's worth a play. I don't love that you probably got to get to 20 under to win for Lauren Coughlin. I feel like her number is more like 14, 15, 16 as a great number for her, but what do I know, I suppose. Hannah Green, Jennifer Kupcho, Angel Yin are 30-1. Rose Zhang really interests me quite a bit here at 35-1. She's done her best work on modern courses. She's done her best work in tournaments, well, in New Jersey, but also where you got to go low. And I think this could be a good experience for her. She is the 35-1 along with Jenny Shin, Hai Jin Choi, who played well here recently. So maybe she's worth a look at 35-1. I think your sleeper bet this week is G.A. Shin at 40-1. She almost won the Open. She doesn't play a lot of golf outside of Korea, so you don't get a lot of exposure to just how great she is and has been. But there's a reason she's still great, because she's been playing great in Korea. This is a home country event. She doesn't have to make the kind of travel that kind of drove her away from the LPGA. I could be very interested in her at 40-1. I tried Arya Jatanyagarn last week, failed miserably at a slightly higher number than this, the 40-1 she's at this week. I will not do that again. Brooke Henderson, 45-1, along with Patty T. Yelimi Ngo had her best finish in I don't know how long last week in China. Do you do anything with that? Do you not? I don't know. Maybe worth a consideration at 50-1. Esther Henslade, who I thought would do pretty okay, did not do well at all, 50-1. Allison Corpuz is 50-1. Lucy Lee, Ashley Buhai are 55-1 each. Both Lee and Buhai have had decent runs recently, I think are worth a look. Gabby Lopez, Allison Lee, Alim Kim are all 60-1. I think Allison Lee is worth a look. Again, has played well really overall this year, but I think she's done her best work outside of the United States. She's played very well overseas over the years. It's kind of kept her career alive through the lean times. It's kind of what helps her get on into events like the Solheim Cup. She's played well here in the past. I think she's worth a look. Same thing with Alim Kim at 60-1. Scroll down a little bit more. We're not going to do everybody here. Gabby Ruffles at 81, I think is worth a look. Maybe Albin Valenzuela at 80-1. Between those two, I think I would take Valenzuela at this point. Ruffles I liked a lot more earlier in the year. Seemed like she was heading toward that win. I'm not as convinced of that right now. Other than that, I know a lot of people like Natalia Gusova at 100, like her just in general, and I think that's fair to say. She'd be interesting at 150-1. I'm probably going to go after Alexa Pano again at 170-1. She was 121 last time. The field's better. She is more erratic, but she did have a pretty decent week, all things considered, for that price point. She just has to hit balls close. She is not a good putter. When the day comes that she figures out putting, she's going to win a whole lot more frequently. But I think she is worth a look at that 170-1 number. After that, no thanks to anybody else in the field. Now, let's switch gears to the DP World Tour event, which is the Andalusia Masters. That's over in Spain. If you don't know, Jon Rahm is playing. This is one of his added events after the live season, so he can remain a DP World Tour member and be able to be on the Ryder Cup team for Europe. You have to be a DP World Tour member to be a member. It's an okay field. I mean, it's not a great field. Neither is any other field this week, except arguably the, at least men's field. The LPGA field is excellent. But the men's fields between the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour are not very good. Rahm's plus 300 to win this. And for good reason, he is the best player in the field. That's horrible value, though. I don't see a reason to bet that number. I think you can go a couple of different ways here. So you have, really, you don't have much in terms of experience at this venue to draw upon, because this used to be at Valderrama. That used to be what the draw of this tournament was. Now that Valderrama has become a live venue, Real Club Soto Grande picked it up from last year, so this is really his second year for it. We don't know, at least I don't feel like we know enough about the venue to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. I think you kind of have to go on current form. David Puge, 22-1, is kind of interesting to me. Won this year in Asia. Played pretty respectable golf throughout a lot of the year. I mean, not totally world-beating, but very respectable. I feel like it's a little short, though. Nicklas Norgaard, I think, is interesting to me at 22. Olsson's certainly interesting to me at 20, especially if the wind picks up. You saw that in gross weather last week in France, that Olsson gave himself a good opportunity. I like him in just crap conditions. He's a kind of grinder guy, and that can happen in this part of Spain. It happened last year where it got especially windy. So if that does show up and it can happen quickly, I do like him quite a bit. Thurston Lawrence, I will put in a plug for as well, 25-1, because he has been so close so many times this year. Not his best work last week, and he is streaky, understand. But I think in this field, he can do very well. Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen at 45-1, I think, is worth a look. He has had especially good success in the Alfred Dunhill links the last couple of years. I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit. But then again, I thought that last year. 45-1 seems like about the right price for this field. I like Matteo Manassero as well at 40-1. Keeps just kind of hanging in there and playing pretty good golf. Dan Bradbury won last week out of nowhere. That's the really awesome thing about the DP World Tour as a tour, is that weird stuff can happen out of nowhere, which means you can get some killer value. To that end, we probably should talk about last week's results in France, just to give you an idea of who finished well. Jeff Winter was 100-1. Yannick Paul out of nowhere. Sam, who had a great run a couple years ago, but has not really been great since. Bairstow and Olesen wrap up your runners-up. You had Johannes Veerman. You had Gunnar Wiebe out of nowhere, finishing tied for eighth. You had Jordan Smith in there, who's had a pretty good year. Aaron Cockerell kind of out of nowhere. You had Rasmus Højgaard finish tied for 13th. He is on the table here this week at 18-1. Maybe that's worth a consideration. Jesper Svensson gave it a good run last week, and then just really struggled on Sunday, shot 76. I like him as a player, but after what happened in the Scandinavian mix this year, where he lost, a six-shot lead with six holes to go, and ultimately lost to Lynn Grant, I think you have to temper that expectation, and maybe you can only bet him live up until he gets over this kind of thing. Johannes Veerman is 65-1, which is kind of an interesting thought, maybe this week to follow it up. Winter is significantly shorter this week at 80-1. So I also want to look at the history of this tournament, obviously knowing we really only have the 1 year at Real Club Soto Grande. So looking at last year, Adrian Meronk won last year before he bolted to live. Matty Schmid finished second. Richard Mansell was third. Jeff Winter was sixth. So maybe you do want to consider betting him, looking after last week into this week. Olesen was ninth, by the way, just in case. You know, I think that kind of validates that thinking of betting him at 20-1, given the last 2 weeks, if you want to try and make those comparisons. Matty Schmid is, by the way, playing in Las Vegas for the PGA Tour stuff. Marcel Siem, maybe. Dan Bradbury was T13 here last year. Matthew Jordan was T13. Jordan's an interesting price. He is at 45-1, so maybe he's worth a look, certainly over Svensson, given his lack of propensity to finish. Yannick Paul's 40-1, just in case you're curious, but he also wasn't great here last year. So I think if you're going to try and find some guys, Olesen for sure. I think Winter deserves a look at that 80-1 number, try to shop for a better one. We're looking at DraftKings. Matthew Jordan's worth a look. That's probably it for me on the event this week. There's just no value to me. Rasmus Højgaard. Worth a look as well, I think, at 18-1. Other than that, I will do a show tomorrow for like 3.5 minutes to talk about the Champions Tour event, and then maybe just spend a couple of seconds thinking about majors for next year, because it is starting to get toward that time where we want to look toward those futures, especially for the Masters, just to see if you can find some prices that maybe are a little out of whack going into 2025. It's a pretty mature market. I mean, this is the one that gets the most action. A lot of people think about this stuff in advance and put some money to work. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is 9-2 to repeat as Masters champion. That's a bad bet. It's only ever happened 3 times. Why would I expect that to happen again? McIlroy's 11-1. He's never even really gotten that close to winning there in the last 14 years. Why are we thinking about him? John Rahm is 12-1? Sure, I could be on that. Shoffley, 12-1? Sure, I could be on that. Those are decent plays. Might get a little bit shorter as we go. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow, just to kind of fill out everything. Just kind of wanted to wet the whistle there on that. That'll do it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. Get a hold of me on social media, either at Ryan Ballingy or at Golf News Net. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year, $60 a year for 2 years, or $80 for 3 years with our fall special at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our tools, my picks. Obviously, the podcast is free, but get more stuff so you can do better research about your PGA Tour picks every single week. Back with one more show tomorrow for the week. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you next time on The Press. Have a great day, everybody.